Can we just look at verse 1 together? This life, oh, shall we read it together?
Sure.
This life I live is not my own, for my Redeemer paid the price. He took it to be his alone, to be his treasure and his prize. The things of earth I leave behind, to live in worship of my King. His is the right to rule my life. Mine is the joy to live for him. Actually, this is what I'm going to share today. The things of earth I leave behind. Last time I talked about after baptism, what should our life be? We should put on Christ. It's our relationship to him. And not only that, God has put us among the Christians. We should live a body life. So today I'm going to talk about this body life. But the song I mentioned just now, he has a right to my life. It's a joy to live for him. So this body life is a joy to us. This body life is a blessing to all Christians. Think about this. If you saved something very precious, where would you put it? Would you put it in a bin? Garbage bin? No. You will treasure that. If you have a treasure chest, you will put it, something precious, in the treasure chest. God saved us. God saved you from sin. And where, if you have a newborn baby, where are you going to put that newborn baby? Would you put a baby alone in the wilderness? No. Would you put your baby in a jungle where there are horrible animals around? No. You will keep your baby in the best place. God saved you. God saved us. And where did he put you? In. To let you grow. It must be the best nursery. Where is that? It is in the body. Now, before, to live a new body life is totally different from the past. Think about the old life. Before you become a Christian, how would you describe your life? Can someone tell me, before you become a Christian, can you think of how you live your life? Everything is about what?
Money.
Sorry?
Money.
Money. Yes, thank you for your contribution. Everything about money. That's for an adult, maybe. How about some people younger?
Your mark. Your result. School result.
School result. Yes. Why? Why school result is so important?
If you don't get like good school result, your parents are probably going to...
Yes. So you want people, your parents, to be happy? You got money, people look up upon you. Wow, he's a good guy. He's smart. He makes a lot of money. So in other words, old life is all about you yourself, your achievement. Isn't it? So to describe the old life is all about you or about I. Very individual. Everything you do, everything you... I like to eat that. It's all about me. My pleasure. It's my right. You know the protests in USA against abortion? Or people against... we should have guns. Why? It's my right. My choice. Me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have our own choice. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have our right. What I'm saying is, I become so important that I ignore the rights of others. So our old life is, before you become a Christian, you always think about yourself, self-centered, selfishness. My like, my pleasure is all about me. Because of this, we follow whatever we desire. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, can somebody read for me? Angela?
And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, like the rest of mankind.
So in Ephesians, it talks about our past, our old life. How, what's in the eye of God is we were dead in the trespasses and sins, following the course of this world. When I remember in the past, when I was young, I was following the fashion of this world, the course of this world. When my friends, they are following the movie stars, how they dressed. At that time, they don't. When you wear a shirt, you don't fix all the buttons up here. Your buttons, the first button is down here. So I follow the passions of this world. And at that time, I don't know how do you call that. It's very the wide. How do you call this part? I don't know. The trousers. Every young people dress like that, and I'm no different. I talk like them. Even I feel some young people, sometimes I walk close to them, they put on the same deodorant. They smell the same. They talk the same, they look the same, their hairstyle. So we are following the fashion of this world. We want to be accepted. I think this is really influenced a lot when we are young. We want to find ourselves, try to, who am I? I want to be like normal people. So we follow the course of this world. But who is behind all this? We chase after all this fashion. Every people have iPhone, I must have iPhone. I'm not happy with the Samsung. So we all just following every people. Following the prince of the power. So behind is the work of Satan, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So unknowingly, we turn our heart to all this material. I'm not saying using iPhone is wrong, remember? I'm saying we turn our heart, our desire, our goal for ourselves, for my glory, for my honor, for my pleasure. I want to look good. So we are just living for ourselves in the passions of our flesh, carrying up the desires of the body. I like it. I want it. Just do it. So this passion is our driving force. Our desires become our driving force. It's all about me. I don't care about others. I don't care about God. This old life is all about me. It's all about I, myself. So we become, because of following all this, we fall into a life of sins. So we need deliverance. And the salvation of God is to deliver us from us. So this new life is God-centered life. It's no longer I that live. In Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that live. Once you receive Christ, Christ come into your life. It's no longer I, but Christ lives in me. So, this new life is totally different. In the past, it's all about me, my desire. But now, put to death in Colossians chapter 3, 5 to 10. Jessica, can you read for me?
Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator.
Yes. So we can see, put to death, put them away, put off all the old ways of life. So if you tell me you are a Christian and you still follow the old way, I will doubt, are you a real Christian? How do you live your daily life? And we are supposed to put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. That means we become like Christ. So old life, all about me. New life is about following Christ. Put on Christ. When people see you, people can see Christ. Not just you claim yourself to be a Christian, but people look at you. How you walk, how you talk, what is in your heart. Examine yourself. Not because you sit here on Sunday makes you a Christian. Think about what's going on in your mind. Think about what's going in your heart. What are your desires? What are your longing? How you live your life. When people look at you, can they say, he is a true Christian? And not only that, you put on Christ. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So your whole life is not thinking about, oh, I've got to be good. In the past, you just do anything you want. But now, not just doing good things. Your focus is not doing good things. Your focus is on putting on Christ to please God. It's for the Lord. So the new life has a new focus. Old life focused on me. New life focused on doing everything for the Lord. Yes, you still study. Yes, you still try to get good grade, but for the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord. Yes, you still work hard. You still earn money for your family. You want to support them. You want to be faithful. Why? For the Lord. So it seems outwardly, before you become a Christian, you study hard. After you become a Christian, you still study hard. But the goal is different. It's for the Lord. This is new life, new goal. You want to please the Lord. Now, let's talk about body life. So not just you live out Christ, put on Christ. People see Christ in your life. Remember when I say in the beginning, when you have a baby, where are you going to put him or her? In a nursery. Which is the best place to nurture a new life? Where would be the best place to nurture my little finger? Put it in the body. The body will support this finger. I remember when my daughter, the nurse took the baby walking up the stairs, and I saw my daughter, the first sight. When I look at her hand, the tiny finger, the baby tiny finger, I look at it, wow, it's like a matchstick. So tiny, but yet it grows. Why? Because there's a body there. So the Lord puts you in the body. You are not alone. God put you among other Christians. This is a blessing to you and make you a blessing to all other Christians. So you are not just thinking about me and God. I do everything for him. I love him. I stay on earth. It's just for him. Yes, true. But there's more than that. Body life. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body. This is the work of God. This is the will of God. We are in one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. And not only that, in Philippians, Eunice, can you read that for me?
I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all, for your progress and joy in the faith.
Yes, Paul was in jail at that time in when he wrote the Philippians letter. Ask him, I am hard-pressed between the two. Which two? My desire is to depart, leave this earth, and to be with Christ, with him, with the Lord he loved, for there is far better. Stay on earth or to be with Christ? For him, with Christ is good. Yet, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Why would Paul like to stay here on earth and suffer? Why are you here? For your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. I stay here is for your progress. That means, brothers and sisters, you are here on earth. It's for the progress and joy for the others. He loved God. Paul can say, oh, I wish I can be with him immediately, right now. Hold on, there's something more important. The Lord put me here on earth so that I can be a blessing for the progress of brothers and sisters, for the joy of brothers and sisters. So, I'll tell you now. You are here in Calaville, not for your own. Yes, for the Lord put you here. It's for the progress and joy for the one sitting in this room. You should be a blessing to the one next to you. You should bring joy to the brothers and sisters next to you. That's why you are here in Calaville today. Let your life be a joy, be a blessing for the progress for the brothers and sisters here today. Yes, you love the Lord. You can go with the Lord. But hold on, Lord, you put me here. That's my responsibility here. I should be a joy to Jessica. I should be a joy to Lyndon. Or Linda. I should bring joy to them. I should be a blessing to Caleb. I should be a blessing to Lawrence. That's why I am here. So when we talk about the body, what is the body? What is the church? In Ephesians, it talks about what is the church? The church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and all in all. Fullness fills all. Not just one or two. The fullness of him, the fullness of God, fill all and in all. So, actually, when we use the word the church, the Greek word is ecclesia, which means a group of people, a congregation, or an assembly. That's why our name is Christian Assembly. Assembly is actually the word the church. So this body, why is so important in God's sight? because the fullness of him is in here. I want to see Jesus. I want to see his love. I want to see his power. I want to see his mercy. Where can I see it today? When you look out in the park there, I can't see God's greatness. I can't see God's mercy. When you look in the CBD, you can't see God's greatness. But when you look at God's people, we can see his greatness. Because we are his body. Now, if I have a great mind, but just a head here, I can't play piano. I need my hand to play piano, to show that the talents, the skill I have. If I have a great, I'm a great artist, but I don't have a hand to paint a painting, how can I show the skill I have, the beauty in my head? So I need a body to express my skill. I need a body to express my art, my strength. I can hold up something. I can use my hand to build a great building. I need a body to express. Similarly, for example, if I don't have a body, how can I express my love towards my children? If there's a baby there, I can hold my baby, use my hand to hold him. He can feel, I touch him. He can feel the touch, he can feel the love. So the body is expressing what is in the head. So someone come in, we Christians around him, he can experience God's grace, he can experience God's mercy. Through our lives, he can see that God is love. Through our life, people can see God's mercy, God's wisdom. So church is not a building. Today people, we go to church, a building in their mind. Or they treat church as an social club. Oh, we go to church to make friends. No, church is not about making friends. Oh, I go to church to learn Bible. Church is not about teaching class. Oh, I go to church because I'm weak. I need strong. I want to be stronger. Then you're thinking, I go to church because I can have some treating church as a gym. Oh, I am very depressed. I need to go to church. Or then you think you come to church is for like a clinic. Go to clinic. It's not for your need in a way. It's not for you what you need. It's for God's demonstrating his fullness. Oh, when I come to church, what have you learned today? Oh, I learned something. Okay, so is it all about what you can learn something? No, it's not about what you get. It's about what he wants to show the world. It's not about, oh, I'm happy, I learned something. It's not about you. When we gathered, the Lord is among us. He can show forth his glory among his people. He be glorified. He be exalted. That is the main thing. Not you, about him. His fullness can display. When my friends from Hong Kong came to visit me, I always bring them to Easter show. Look at all the produce in Australia. Look at it. The fullness of this land. Go to Easter show. Show me the fullness of God. Come to God's people. You can see the fullness of him. So this is not just a gathering. People come and listen to a sermon. No. When we gather, people can see the fullness of God. This is the spiritual reality here. Our mission is not to gather every Sunday listening to someone to preach and then go home. No. Don't treat this as a lecture. When we gathered, the life we have together, showing forth God's fullness. This is our responsibility. So what is church life? But before I go there, what is family life? Family life, what are you, if we think about activities, if I ask you what's your family life, you may say, oh, I go home after school, I eat dinner, and then I went back to my room and study or play. No one knows anyway. And then I go to sleep. So if I ask you what is your family life, you may tell me your activity. Then it would be the same, just like you are going to a restaurant. You know, when you go home, you eat. When you go to a restaurant, you eat. When you go home, you sleep. When you go to a hostel or hotel, you sleep. So what is the real reality of family life? It's all about relationship. The reality of family life is not about what you do. I sit at the table, I eat. No. You sit at the restaurant, you eat. You sit at McDonald's, you eat. Are you having relationship with the one sitting next to you in McDonald's? No. But when you sit at your home, you care about your family. You serve them. You love them. It's about the relationship. So that's why, you know, I know it's difficult for especially teenagers. When they go home, the parents will ask, hey, how's your day? How's school? Good. and then went into the room. Actually, now it's different. After many years, I ask my children. Now when I go home, my children ask me, Dad, how's your day? Ooh. Now they care about me. They care about how I am. Just now I came in. Eunice asked me, hey, Uncle Paul, how are you? How are you recently? Oh, this is care. This is life. Not it's about relationship, brothers and sisters. It's so warm to feel someone care about you. Not just hi and bye. So if you come here, listen, and go, and that is your church life, no, this is not church life. Church life is about people. Church life is about you and the one sitting around you here. So throughout the Bible, we can find out a lot of phrases about relationship, about one another. In John 13:35, talk about if you love one another, you are my disciples. So we can see relationship, love one another. So when we come together, how can the testimony here, the Kellyville people, brothers and sisters, when we gathered here, how can the Kellyville brothers and sisters, the testimony in Kellyville have the spiritual reality? There should be love for one another. If you sit here and go and not showing or concerning brothers and sisters next to you, there is no love, then there is no reality. This is not body life. We need love for one another. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, we can have fellowship. Actually, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God called us into have fellowship with His Son. Koinonia in Greek word, which means sharing our experience, sharing our life. So when you come here, we used to stand back, hold back. I don't want anybody to know much about me. You are holding back. But Koinonia is sharing your life, sharing your thoughts, sharing your your worries, sharing your concerns, sharing your joy. Sometimes something happens to brothers and sisters. They have a success in some area, but they don't tell you. Sometimes they have bad things happen to them. They have sorrow and pain, but they don't tell you. Then they are not sharing, having fellowship.
I asked a question. So a little bit earlier you talked about what a church wasn't just coming to listen, and church wasn't just... And you mentioned if someone was like sad or depressed, they shouldn't come to church just to be comforted, because that's not the only purpose for church. But in some sense it is, right? Like if someone is sad or needs comfort, they should come to church for that, because it's in church that they should find it. And it's only in church that brothers and sisters can actually care for someone who is sad or depressed, right?
Exactly. That's true. Yes. When I say we are not seeking just for comfort for myself, and then getting the comfort and then I go away, it's just like you are just getting something here without contributing, as if you are you just take without giving. This is not body life. But in a real body life, this fellowship, this comfort is both ways, two ways. You give and you take. And your concern is not just about you. And your concern is about others as well. So don't come to a state that, oh, I shouldn't share my difficulties. We should. You need strength. You need encouragement. We are going to see about that. In Romans chapter 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another. This word only appears once in Greek. It means cherishing, as if cherishing one kindred. That one is someone very close to you, fond of natural relatives. So, not a stranger to you, brothers and sisters. When you look at that person, you have a kind of closeness to him, as if he's your cousin, as if he's your nephew, as if he's your uncle. Family together. Be kindly affectionate. In Romans 12:16, be of the same mind. Be of the same mind towards one another. If you look at the context, it's talking about, in another way, is that you are not insisting your own way. I don't have... Other people want that. No, I want this way. I'm not surrendering. I have to insist my own way. Everybody is wrong. I'm the right. So, it's talking about that. Be of the same mind is, don't think you are so great. Willing to put down your ideas. Be of the same mind. Don't be proud. Be of the same mind towards one another. Is again, is relationship. Edify another. That means you try to build one another when we gather together. Is your sharing try to build another up? Sometimes people just like to share whatever is their heart. Sometimes, just like a garbage bin, they pour out all the garbage to others. They have some. So you have negative thing. Be careful. Is that edifying to other people? So we share is try to build others up, to bring joy, to bring blessing to others. And Romans 15:7, receive one another. I don't like that guy. I don't like his way of talking. I don't like his blah, blah, blah. So would you accept different people? People have shortcomings. People have different weaknesses. Would you accept them or receive one another? Oh, he's not like me. Oh, he's so different. He's too smart. He's too stupid. I can't bear him. Receive one another. Relationship. In 1 Corinthians 12, 25. Actually, it's good to look at the whole verse, but because I want to make it compact, I just emphasize the word same care for one another. Why do we say the same care? Because I care more about these people and not these. These are my type. These are my group. We have choices. We show partiality. But same care. Not because he's not my buddy, I ignore him. I only, after meeting, I only talk to my buddy. The newcomers, not my type. I don't like to talk to strangers. I only stick with my buddies. Then you are not showing the same care to one another. Speaking with one another in psalms and hymns.
You got a question here?
Yep.
So you know how there are people with social anxiety? They are just not comfortable speaking to newcomers or any other people. So I guess it wouldn't really be possible for them to have the same care.
Actually, I think if there's love in you, it helps you to relate to someone. Maybe you are not good at speech. Sometimes I can, even the kids, I can relate to kids, even though I can't talk their language, maybe. But I can put myself down and come to their level. Hey, you like chips? You see, I don't pull them up to my standard. When I talk to newcomers, if they are from that country, or I'd have to, okay, I want to know you, so I put down my background and try to know you. And sometimes as you grow older, you will learn to talk to different people more. So in the beginning, when I was a teenager, I find it hard to talk to strangers. I don't know what I can talk to the older people. I have difficulty at that time. But now I become the older people. So I know the difficulties of the young people. So I try to talk more to the young people, if I can. So, but there will be a stage because we are all growing. The thing is, when you have love, it's easier to make a first step. To step out from your comfort zone. I got clumsy English. I don't feel comfortable. But still, if you have love, you're willing to make a step. Bearing with one another. Forgiving one another. Oh, I'm bearing with that guy. Actually, he's forgiving you. So it's mutual, actually. You think that person is difficult to... It's not easy to be with him. Actually, he may feel the same way. You may need his forgiveness. Maybe you are giving him a rolled eye or something. You need forgiveness from others as well. So it's a two-way thing. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Conflict happens. We are from different backgrounds. But when there are forgiving, when there are bearings, I can see love there. I can see patience there. God's fullness is there. So we are called. Not that everyone is perfect. Not because everyone is perfect, that's why we can love one another. No. We can see weaknesses in different people. But yet, we are all bearing one another, forgiving one another. And comfort one another. How can you comfort people if you don't know he needs comfort? If you don't talk to him or her, how do you know he has got trouble? If you are not open yourself, okay, come, tell me your problem. Ooh, wow, you sound too harsh. How can I touch you? If I tell you, maybe after 1 minute, everyone will know my problem. So, comfort. It depends on how close you can come to that person. Does he or she trust you to open herself to you? Or are you willing, do you know how to comfort people? Or just giving him or her a verse? If you are sad, you should be joyful in the Lord. You should be joyful. And you are condemning her or him not being joyful. Are you comforting or condemning? So it's not easy to be a good comforter. We have to learn a lot. Sometimes you have to suffer a lot in order to know how to be comforted by people. Yeah, sometimes you have to be hurt by others in order to know how to comfort people. So it's a great challenge, a lesson to learn, whole life lesson. Confess your trespasses to one another. You may have offended your brothers and sisters. Do you know you have offended someone? You may not even know it. Pray for one another. Have any of you joined any prayer meeting? Have any of you ever prayed with brothers and sisters for other brothers and sisters? You should. Otherwise, you are not experiencing body life. Compassion to one another. If you are strong, can you show compassion to the weak? Can you understand their struggle? Can you show sympathy or empathy to others? Minister to one another, serving one another. Can you come early and help to set the chairs? Can you come? Can you do something for others to show you care? This is a testimony of love. This is a testimony of a body. So do not have the mental idea that, church gathering is someone preaching. People listening, every week learning and go, learning and go, learning and go. No, this is not body life. You don't need a strong speaker. But if everyone practice this caring, loving, comfort, compassion, fellowship for one another, this is what God wants. The testimony of a body. The fullness of Him that fills all and in all. So the richness of this, the successful of this testimony does not depend on a good speaker, but depends on every one of us to live a body life. Don't wait, who is speaking today? Who is speaking? No. It doesn't depend on the speaker. It depends on you. It depends on how you love one another. Do I make this clear? Body life. There's hope here. We are growing together. So let there be love. In the beginning, when God created heaven and earth, let there be light, and there was light. Let here we can find love. Let here we can find compassion, fellowship. Then God's work can be manifest here. Life manifest here. Life grows. What a big difference it makes. What a great blessing it is. So don't just finish the meeting and then go. Pray, have fellowship, care, serve one another. So may God bless us in the coming years, coming days, coming weeks. Let us go forward into body life. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for you saved us into a body which is the fullness of you to be manifest in here in Kellerville. So we pray for each one of us here that we are not just coming to the meeting, but we indeed have a relationship with one another. Help us to love. Teach us. Train us to love, to serve, to concern one another, to bear, to comfort one another. Lord, let you be exalted and glorified in our midst. We commit everyone into your own hand. Listen to our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Paul, for the connection with our so this time we see a pretty table meeting and we have a very good time. And then I think we're going to